this area near the entrance to Silver Bay. We're in relatively deep water. It's over 350 feet deep here. And depending on where these whales are feeding, they could be down for quite a while. But generally, if it's an area where there's good feeding, they won't travel a very far distance while they're underwater. So even if they're down for several minutes, there's a very good chance that when they come back up, they'll still be relatively close to this spot.
There's a nice layer of herring right on the bottom that's about 80 fathoms deep. So these whales come right now and they're feeding prior to their migration, just bulking up because they don't feed a lot in Hawaii. Domino is a whale we've known since a calf, and I've only ever seen him here. He's a bit of there's a little blurb about him in the Whale Fest program because he's well known to the whale watch community here. He's always typically by himself. If he does join up with another group of whales, it doesn't last long. I don't know if it's him or the other whales, but something happens and there's a little fracas and then he's not with them the next time. So.
Like Juno?
Oh yeah, absolutely. They're the same whales. I mean, the whales, you might see a whale here right now, and next month it might be in Seymour Canal, and then the next month it might be in Glacier Bay. So they definitely move around.
Mm-hmm. And do they range pretty much all over Southeast, or certain just limited area?
No, they do range all over Southeast, although the population is largest in northern Southeast. So, although there are some whales that are real homebodies, like Domino. I've never seen him anywhere else, but his mom goes all over the place. We see her in Frederick Sound, all over. So those whales that are in Juneau, they will end up in Seymour. A lot of those end up in Seymour Canal in the fall and winter. They may have been in Icy Strait earlier. So, I mean, Juneau is kind of a pass-through area, although there are some localized whales. And you've also had the Chatham Lunge Feeding Group there for a few years. They used to be down by Yasha in southern Chatham, and for some reason, it's probably food-related, the herring have been up more in the northern part of Chatham, and so they've been really hanging out for the whale watching fleet in Juneau, and I wouldn't count on that forever because things change. Mm-hmm. So you know that whale watching industry is really building and building, and it's huge. But you know the whales may just disappear next year. So
have you seen shifts? You know, over the long haul between where the whales are, you know, over the period of time you've been researching.
Yeah, the shifts that I've seen are, because we have more whales, we're seeing a lot more whales in southern Southeast. We're also seeing lunge feeding in southern Canada, mid to BC, and lunge feeding in Kenai Fjords as well. So that's a big change. Some of the whales, a few whales from Southeast have been over there, and it's probably, I assume, just a cultural transmission, or who knows what's going on there. We haven't really looked at it in depth. So, but in Southeast, one is we're having more whales on the tail end of the seasons, fall more whales earlier in the spring and later in the fall and winter. So that's definitely a change.
And when you say lunge feeding, is that the same as the bubble net feeding, or?
Right, it's bubble net lunge feeding. It's that coordinated behavior, not always associated with a lunge, and not always associated with a feeding call, and not always associated with bubbles. But sometimes you get all three, and those whales in Chatham do all three.
That'd be one clue to what they're eating. We also spend a lot of time looking in the water, trying to find scales, watching the whales when they come up, or any fish jumping out of their mouths. We can look around at the birds that are feeding with them. So out here, I've seen a lot of common murres, I think, and maybe a few loons. Those types of birds eat larger prey, so it'd probably suggest that they were feeding on fish. If we saw little gulls, like Bonaparte's gulls or Mew gulls, that's generally a smaller type prey, maybe little larval fish or euphausids or krill or other zooplankton. So those are some of the ways. So humpback whales, one thing they're really good at is being maneuverable. They have those really long pectoral fins. that makes them, allows them to turn really sharp, so they can get in really close to shore and they can work around the net pens, and they figure out this is a great place to eat. The whales dive down into the school, and more whales come. They start breaking up this big school into smaller schools, and fish get stunned. There's injured fish, and the fish are scattering. It's a lot easier for a sea lion to chase an individual down. They're faster than the fish, but if they can pick out one fish, just like a lion chasing a herd of zebras, pick out one and run it down. The zebra mixes back with the herd, you lose it. So anyway, we think these whales are breaking them up and making it easier for the sea lions to find and catch fish. Not that they couldn't do it on their own. And they're also bringing these stunned fish to the surface. Birds are feeding on them. There's a lot of cruise ships, a lot of whales. There's a lot of gear in the water. And sometimes I'm just amazed the whales can even get through this, through the inside waters of Southeast without getting into any trouble. And small boats are fast, and whales are big, and it's like hitting a brick wall, and I don't think people fully realize that. I think they are aware, but do they care, I guess, is the real question. Some places where there's a lot of boat activity around Juneau, Auk Bay, maybe in Sitka Sound, the whales they're living with boats every day. Whales that don't see a lot of boats are probably a little bit more skittish, more aware of them.